Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 2, Text 10. Tamo vacha hri kesha.
Tamo vacha hri kesha.
Prahasan eva bharata.
Prahasan eva bharata.
Senayor ubhayor madhye. Vishidantamidam vachaha.
Vishidantamidam vachaha.
Tamo vacha hrishikesha.
Tamo vacha hrishikesha.
Prahasan eva bharata.
Prahasan eva bharata.
Senayor ubhayor madhye.
Senayor ubhayor madhye.
Vishidantamidam vachaha. O descendant of Bharat, at that time, Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. Purport. The talk was going on between intimate friends, namely the Hrishikesha and the Gurakesha. As friends, both of them were on the same level, but one of them voluntarily became a student of the other. Krishna was smiling because a friend had chosen to become a disciple. As Lord of all, he is always in the superior position as the master of everyone, and yet the Lord agrees to be a friend, a son, or a lover for a devotee who wants him in such a role. But when he was accepted as the master, he at once assumed the role and talked with the disciple like the master, with gravity as it is required. It appears that the talk between the master and the disciple was openly exchanged in the presence of both armies so that all were benefited. So the talks of Bhagavad Gita are not for any particular person, society or community, but they are for all, and friends or enemies are equally entitled to hear them. In the previous verse, we have Sanjay reporting to Dhritarashtra. To Dhritarashtra. What Arjuna had said to Krishna, what Arjuna's conclusion is. Nayotsya. I won't fight. And then Krishna starts to speak in earnest. Arjuna, by saying, I won't fight, it sounds like an ultimatum. That there's nothing more to say, I've made my decision. So, let's get out of here and leave the battle. You came to be my chariot driver, but I don't need a chariot. I'm not going to fight. And Krishna is smiling. Arjuna is lamenting and Krishna is smiling, just like the parents, they have the experience, the child is stamping his foot and saying, the child is childish. And the parents smile, it's just a child. But the child is stubborn. No, and then the parent has to explain. This is why you should do this. In the beginning, the parent may not explain, but eventually they have to explain, and then gradually the child becomes an adult by understanding what he should do and why he should do it. You don't eat all the chocolates. You have to share them with your brothers and sisters, for instance. The world is not meant only for you. You have to consider others also. Of course, Arjuna in this case was considering others. He thought that he was becoming more saintly by not fighting. He thought he was acting in accord with dharma to decide not to fight. Just like, again, parents, they have the experience that they may give some argument to some child, you should share the chocolates with others. Then the child becomes immediately, at a very young age, very expert in argumentation and twisting the argument. No, no, they'll get sick if they eat it. They don't want it. They become very expert in the same thing. The parent may have told the child previously that, oh, don't eat so many chocolates, you'll become sick. So they know sick, that's one reason not to eat, and then they tell, no, they can't eat because they'll get sick. But no, I have very good digestion, so I'll die. So they become very expert at a young age in inventing, and that's also part of the growing up process. How to become, in this material world, how to become a rascal and pretend that you are doing good. Just like one country may go and drop bombs on another country, and we're doing it for your good. You see, we want you to have democracy and McDonald's and Coca-Cola and an open market, and you don't need all that oil under your ground. You can share it with us because we're sharing our bombs with you. So it's all done on humanitarian grounds. They make it sound good, but they're actually not at all interested in the other's benefit, but they know how to twist the argument around. And Krishna perceives that Arjuna, who in his own mind is very sincere, see, I don't want to fight because it wouldn't be very good. But Krishna doesn't accept this. It's a common idea that we will become more saintly by not acting. It's the old Mayavadi idea that doing something entangles you in this material world, so you don't do it, just you stop acting. You stop all activities, and then you become very saintly. But of course, Krishna will tell Arjuna, practically the whole first part of the first section of the Bhagavad Gita is convincing Arjuna that you have to work, you can't stop working. Nahi kascha kshamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. Krishna tells Arjuna, this whole idea of not working is ridiculous because you can't stop work altogether. Even if you breathe, that's some kind of work. Even to stand on the earth or to sit and think, now I stopped all, you're occupying part of the earth which some other living entity could argue yours. So you're always interacting with the environment. You can't stop doing that. So the whole first part of the Bhagavad Gita is to convince Arjuna that he has to work. Often people have this idea that, oh, you become more saintly if you don't work. And people often have the idea of sadhus, they just sit around doing nothing, basically, and that's very saintly. That may be, but real sadhu, Vaishnav sadhus in particular, they'll have a very busy day every day. They're, for instance, living in Vrindavan, many of them will do Vrindavan parikrama at least once a day, maybe more than once a day. They'll visit so many temples, they'll have fixed activities for themselves. They'll visit so many temples every day for darshan, and they're in a rush to get to them all before the darshan closes. And they'll chant a fixed number of rounds every day, many rounds, and they'll study so many books. And in this way, they're very busy in activity. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nati. The six Goswamis, they had fixed activities. activities which kept them busy all day. It may be more, you don't have so much experience of sadhus here in South India and North India. There are many more. The Shaiva sadhus, they may be more doing nothing because they're more into meditation and smoking ganja and becoming peaceful. They don't have, but the Vaishnava sadhus will be busy, but in activities, of course, Krishna wants to tell Arjuna not just be busy, but you have to be busy for me. You have to work for me. So a sadhu is not an escaper. Arjuna wanted to escape. Krishna told Arjuna, no, you work for me, fight for me. Sometimes sadhus are criticized as being escapers. Well, in one sense, yes, we want to escape from this frightful cycle of birth and death. We want to escape from this stupidity of working. What is that? Kripana Durajana, Sevinu. This working for nasty, miserly people. But we want to work for Krishna. Vaishnavas are busy people. Srila Prabhupada, he himself was very busy. People were surprised when he came to Vrindavan that he would be half the time in Delhi collecting money, making magazines. Of course, writing in devotion, that's not considered a wrong thing for a sadhu, but his kind of writing was not the kind of thing that you'd expect sadhus to write. It was very polemic, topical, discussing issues in the newspapers. That's not the kind of thing that sadhus write. Especially in Vrindavan, you'd expect them to write about pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was keeping accounts. He hardly had any money, but he was keeping accounts. Every pie. You know what a pie is? Ever heard of pies? Not an apple pie. Pie is one pie, two paise, like that, teen paise. So every pie he was looking after. Now there's no, I don't think they still make coins, 50 paise, 1 rupee. So paise is now redundant. It's just in the language. It's not actually being used. Now they're making 10 rupee coins also. Then they'll have 100 rupee and 1,000 rupee and as the inflation goes on. Srila Prabhupada also pointed out. That's another subject. So Srila Prabhupada himself was very busy in Krishna's service. He retired from family life to become more busy. People think that you retire and then you live very peacefully. Become a sadhu, then you live very peacefully. Srila Prabhupada said a very different example. He would often quote, or at least sometimes quote, from Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Sri Narasimhadev. What is the mood of a preacher of Krishna consciousness? Of course, it's multifaceted mood, but one essential ingredient there is compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So he would quote Naibod Vijay Paraduratya Vaitaranya Swadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittam Shoche Tato Vimukacheta Sa Indriyarta Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvahato Vimurhan. Prahlad Maharaj addressing Sri Narasimhadev referred to the Vimurhas, big fools. But he was very compassionate for them. He said that I'm not at all concerned. I'm happy, actually. Even before you came, I was happy, even though I was being thrown in boiling oil and thrown off cliffs and attacked by people trying to kill me and mad elephants sent to kill me and fed poison food. in so many ways trying to be killed, but I wasn't unhappy because I was thinking of you, Nrsimhadev, your glories, your majesty, chanting your names. But I had some unhappiness also seeing those who are inimical to you and who live only for the pleasure of the senses, the so-called happiness, the illusory happiness of the senses, the great fools. And Prahlad Maharaj also, Srila Prabhupada would quote, he would criticize, well, not exactly criticize, but he differentiated himself from sadhus who don't do anything to help suffering people in this material world. Prayena deva munayo svavimukti kama mo nam charanti vijane na parata nishtaha na nantutam na tan vihaya kripanan vimamoksha e ko na tan vihaya how's it going? Na nyad tvadasya sharanam brahmato nupashe. He said that you see, all these sadhus, they're leaving society. They go to the hills and forests where there are no people because they're very interested to become free from this material world. But they're not interested in helping others who are suffering in this material. They're wandering in this material world, suffering the pangs of material misery. So Prahlad said, I'm not just interested. I don't want to stay here in this material world, but what about all the others also? So this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada, and he wanted to impart this mood to others, try to do something to help others. For that matter, one has to be busy. Everyone in this world is busy, especially in the modern age. In the cities, people are very busy. But they're busy for sense gratification, which is entangling them more and more in suffering. So, Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this example that if people are working so hard, then why cannot devotees work hard? They have a useless goal, but we have a very good goal of serving Krishna. Krishna is pleased by those who try to serve him. Just like Krishna was pleased with Arjuna when he fought because Krishna wanted that. So Krishna becomes pleased when devotees engage in preaching Krishna consciousness. You may think, well, I can chant Hare Krishna and think about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That is the perfection of life. That is described in Sri Upadeshamrita of Srila Rupa Goswami, that the perfection of life is to live at Radha Kunda and always contemplate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. Work now, do something to bring knowledge of Krishna to others, just like Srila Prabhupada. He was living in Vrindavan. He could have stayed there, but he came out to bring that knowledge to others. So you may say, well, but if I go out in the material world, I see it's very dangerous, I might fall down. And I'm thinking, if we're working for Krishna, then we're thinking about books and accounts and legal matters and cleaning the bathroom and so many different things. I'm not thinking of Radha and Krishna. But then we find that Prabhupada, he told devotees who thought that I'll just go and sit at Radha Kund. And Srila Prabhupada said, you'll sit there and you won't be thinking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. You'll be thinking of women and money and sense gratification and you'll fall down. He told us that his own guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had said that the so-called Babaji's living in Radha Kund, they're actually living in Narak Kund. They're actually in hell by their consciousness. One can be in hell or heaven by one's consciousness. So if one is thinking of enjoying women, or even if one is thinking, I see there's another Babaji over there and people respect him more than me, so I have to do more tapasya and chant more rounds and then people will respect me more. So that's hellish consciousness. That's not Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada sent us out in the world for our own purification. We should work hard for Krishna to try to help others come up in Krishna consciousness. Let them also have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. Others should always have the opportunity. That doesn't mean that we work in like some kind of madman in Rajaguna, some workaholic. Well, in one sense you could say Srila Prabhupada was, but at the same time there's a time for eating, there's a time for sleeping, there's a time for reading, everything is there. Srila Prabhupada also wanted us to study his books, to have full morning program. Many people who say, well, in ISKCON, you see, there's no bhajan, we don't do more bhajan. But in our program that Srila Prabhupada gave us, we have in the morning at least 4 hours of concentrated hearing and chanting, and in the evening also, at least 1.5 hours. So if you put that together, at least 6 hours a day. I wonder how many people in the world are doing 6 hours a day of concentrated spiritual activities. So we're also supposed to study separately apart from that, and also work hard for spreading Krishna consciousness. So it's a very active life, but that will bring us to Krishna. To be lazy or withdrawn, that will not bring us to Krishna, because we have to go via the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who wanted us to spread this. We have to go via the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, Jare deko tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amaragya guru hoyataro edesh. To inform others about the message of Bhagavad Gita and become a guru on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, not for one's own self-aggrandizement, but on his order. And Srila Prabhupada also made arrangements that devotees, when they're older, they could retire. Srila Prabhupada told one of his disciples, who he pushed very hard for preaching, Bhurijan Prabhu, pushed him hard, means he sent him to Hong Kong, and he didn't want him to come back. He wanted him to stay. It was very, very difficult. It's still very difficult there, although the movement has become established. He was finding it very, very difficult. Srila Prabhupada wanted him to do that, but he told him that you preach until the age 50, and then you retire and live in Vrindavan. Which he's done. So Srila Prabhupada also gave that facility that you can retire later. Of course, we see Srila Prabhupada's retirement wasn't a lazy retirement, and retirement for anyone doesn't mean lazy, but we can also follow the example of Srila Prabhupada himself, who said that, I want the benediction from Krishna to fight like Arjuna up till the last point. So Srila Prabhupada, even in his old age, he was busy in Krishna's service. Of course, generally expected that young men can be very physically active, and it's often very difficult for them just to sit in one place. So we actually find they become very happy when they have good engagement. Just like sometimes people say, oh, you shouldn't work the bulls. It's not good to have them pulling carts. But they like to pull plows and carts. If they don't do anything, then they become less happy. That can be seen. So people also, one kind of punishment is to lock people in prison with no work to do. You may think, well, see, you have food and a place to live and nothing to do. It sounds good. But that's a kind of punishment to not give them any work to do. So work should be there, some, but not all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, there's a saying in English, or more shastric, that yukta ahara viharascha, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta svapnava bhudasya yoga bhavati dukkha. By the process of yoga, one can overcome all miseries by being balanced in work, eating, recreation, sleep, all these different things. As one gets older, then one may not have the same physical strength, but one should go on working for Krishna, serving Krishna in various ways, because that is the constitutional position of the living being. One who wants spiritual life, without that, they may end up in the impersonal Brahman. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, nothing to see, no Krishna. But those who are very active in Krishna's service, they may think, they're just like the Christian idea, rest in peace. You've been working hard all your life, then you die and then you rest in peace. But that's not the Vaishnava aim, just to rest in peace. The Vaishnava aim is to serve Krishna in all respects. So it's a very busy movement, many things to do. That has to be done in the spirit of anyabhilashita shunyam, Krishna te kila cheshta, everything for Krishna's pleasure, nothing for my pleasure. And that will satisfy Krishna. Krishna is always happy. If we satisfy him, we become happy. It's a very simple formula. Arjuna is doing the wrong thing by refusing to fight. That is clear because he is vishidantam. Here the word vishidantam refers to Arjuna. He who is lamenting. So if he is on the spiritual platform, he shouldn't be lamenting. So the very fact that he's miserable shows that he's doing the wrong thing. And Krishna will point out to him why that is so. And then Arjuna, he will accept Krishna's order and again pick up his Gandiva and fight for Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. I finished there. Is there any question?
It seems that Srila Prabhupada's work, his work to spread Krishna consciousness itself was his samadhi.
Work now, samadhi later was a sarcastic saying by Srila Prabhupada. Work now, and you'll find samadhi now in Krishna's service. Samadhi, that term, is not used much by Vaishnavas. That's more in the impersonalists. What's he doing? Why is he standing like this? But standing like this is also not good. Samadhi is the ultimate goal of the yoga system. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, 8 points of the yoga system. So, although Patanjali's yoga system is theistic, it's not explicitly theistic, as is Bhagavad Gita theism, when Krishna is clearly identified as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Samadhi is, in common parlance, is often considered to be some kind of impersonal state of realization. So when Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later, that's some kind of sarcasm. That if you think you won't work, and then you'll just dream off into some imagined samadhi. But as Srila Prabhupada said, I've seen so many yogis, they're meditating, and they're snoring their meditation. Yeah. Yes, common question. We become so engaged in service, we don't have time for sadhana, then you have to adjust. You have to do everything. If you become so busy that you forget why you're doing what we're doing, then it becomes mundane. All right, so we'll finish. Hare Krishna. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.